Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. This is the fourth of the four books of the Bible that tell us the story of Jesus' life on earth. This one was written by someone often called the evangelist because of his passion for evangelism and spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the main themes in this gospel is the interplay between darkness and light. This is a theme that you will hear in this morning's gospel reading. This comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. You can find this on page 1650 of the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our salvation. I'm going to let you all in on a little preacher secret. Shh, don't tell my pastor friends. When we see a verse like John 3:16 come up in the lectionary, most of us are hit by a sudden sense of impending doom. A common problem with some passages is that there isn't very much about them in our commentaries, our reference books. The exact opposite is true of passages that are so beloved and widely used as John 3:16 and the surrounding verses. There is so much written on this passage that it is nearly impossible to figure out where to start. And so many people know this passage so well that it's hard to think of anything to say that isn't going to make two-thirds of the people hearing it say, "Oh, here we go with John 3:16 again." You can get t-shirts, bracelets, bookmarks, posters, pencils, and heaven only knows what else with "For God so loved the world" printed all over them. Or if you're really trendy, you can get something that just says 3:16, so then people have to ask you what it means. It's hard to read a familiar passage of the Bible with fresh eyes, especially one that has become a slogan. So perhaps part of the trick with this passage this morning is to go so far back in Christian history to a time before John 3:16 was a bumper sticker slogan. So let's go back this morning to a time when it still had a little bit of bite to it. If we get into our Wayback Machine, our TARDIS or our DeLorean, to the days when the church was still very young, we run into a theologian named Augustine. When writing about the passage from John that I just read this morning, he says, "People love truth when it shines on them and hate it when it rebukes them." We love the light part of John 3 as long as it means that good things are shining on us. That's the part we turn into our bumper sticker slogan. We like the light part of John 3 as long as it means we don't have to worry about the darkness then, that we have some way to block it out. We want to draw the curtains at night and turn on our electric lights and pretend that it isn't night outside of our house. We want to cling to the positive side of John 3 while ignoring the difficult challenge that it presents. To be sure, this passage has a lovely message of hope. It's the center of the gospel right here. It's a hope that there is light in spite of the darkness. But John doesn't ignore or write off or whitewash the darkness. There are people walking in darkness, people who have not seen Jesus. We spent some time lamenting this darkness in our prayer service on Wednesday night this past week. Things like poverty, violence, entitlement, discrimination, abuse. This text says to live in the light, but how do we live in the light in our spirits when we are surrounded by so much darkness and despair? For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that anyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But when we look around us, it's evident that there are people who say no. There are people who simply do not believe in Jesus Christ. So what do we do with that? In our passage from Ephesians, Paul describes this darkness more than John 3 does. Paul refers to passions of the flesh, which we often peg as just being individual sins. But Paul's letters are written to entire communities, communities that are certainly full of individuals committing individual sins, but also communities that are committing sins as a community by sitting by and allowing themselves to be swept into cultural sins like poverty, war, discrimination. Paul says, cut it out. Live as those who we are truly meant to be, who we really are at our core in Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus' example of living as light in the dark world. Accept his invitation to move out of darkness and into the light. There is something powerful in the knowledge that Jesus Christ came in spite of everything for us. Regardless of our participation in the darkness, past, present, or future, we are still offered light. If we really let this sink in, we realize it is a light so bright we can't help but let it creep into every crevice of our lives, pushing out the darkness and shining out to those around us. My buddy Augustine has something to say about this too. He says, unless the Father, you see, had handed over life, we would not have had life. It is the Lord Christ himself, of course, that is life, about whom John the Evangelist says, this is the true God and eternal life. The light that John talks about us living in is more than just an avoidance of the darkness. It's a knowledge, an acknowledgement, that we live in a screwed up world, but that there is a Savior. There is hope for the hopeless. Even when the hopeless don't or won't or can't see the hope, it's there. It's there because God loved us so very much that God, as Jesus Christ, gave up life on our behalf so that we can have life. The light doesn't just make us look nicer. The light doesn't just light a path to heaven for us. The light reveals our true self. Living in the light of Christ allows us to see ourselves for who we really are. It allows us to realize who we are without Jesus and shows us who we truly are, who we are when we are with Jesus. We can never be our true selves without him. Living in the light is not just about behavior control or moral willpower or even who can argue the truth of the Bible better than whom. Living in the light is a full return to who we are meant to be. It's a state of our entire being, body, mind, heart, and spirit. We aren't saved by the things that we do. If you've heard me preach more than 3 or 4 times, you've heard me say that before, but it bears repeating. We aren't saved by being nice people or doing the right things and avoiding the wrong things. And salvation isn't just a ticket to heaven. Being saved isn't just some pie in the sky for tomorrow. Well, there is a bright tomorrow that comes as we are ultimately redeemed and accepted into the very life of God for all eternity. But there's a bright light today too, my friends. There's so much more to the Christian life than just sitting back and behaving and waiting to be swept into heaven. Paul tells us, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Good works do not have to be our manic attempts to save our own skin. Good works are what we were created for. They are how we live into the abundant, adventurous, fulfilling, exciting, wonderful life that Jesus has freed us for in the here and now. Obedience is how we are able to fill ourselves and the world around us with the light of Christ in the midst of darkness falling around us. Doing God's work in the world is how we say to others, "God loves you." It's how we say to those who are living in the darkness, "God loves you." And those who have said no to Jesus, that God loves you. Those who just aren't listening, "God loves you." Those who are just going through the motions of life, "God loves you." Jesus came to love all of us, no matter what. It's how we say, "I'm a mess too, and I'm no better than my neighbor. So I will offer up kindness to those who are a mess like me. I will offer the love to those who are unloved by the people around them. I will give to those who don't have anything. I will accept those who other people don't accept, but who God welcomes with open arms." This is why good works are considered an important Lenten tradition. We cannot separate our acknowledgement of salvation through Jesus from our engagement with those around us. We can't relegate the cross to just being our insurance policy for tomorrow. That's a tiny cross. That's half a cross. Jesus died for more than that. When we talk about the cross, or John 3:16, as what I once frustratingly heard referred to as a golden train ticket to heaven, we have taken the bite out of this passage. We have tamed it into something small and friendly and manageable, something we can fit into our God box. We've taken out the part that challenges us and rebukes us for claiming light and then continuing to pretend there isn't darkness around us. Friends, this is pretty revolutionary. The idea of a Messiah that loved us and went to the cross for us, all of us, whether we accept that and live like it or not, is absurd. The friendly little John 3:16 that we put on our hats and t-shirts and whatever, it's just a flashlight when the storm takes out electricity. But what John and Paul are talking about here, that is a light infinitely brighter than staring into the sun. That is a light that we can't help but reflect to the people around us in the hope that they too will see it and say yes. All for us. Sinning, broken, miserable, messed up, dying us. Whoa. I want to take a few moments of silent prayer this morning, of prayer and contemplation, to to let that sink in. Just close your eyes and quiet your heart for a minute or two and really let this passage infiltrate your heart. At the end of the silence, I'm going to reread a portion of the passage again, and I want you to listen to it as though you've never heard it before. And then as we gather for our family meal after the service, I want you all to talk to one another about what this passage really means to you. One way to give the bite back to a passage of scripture that has become too familiar is to hear it from another person's perspective. And if you haven't actually read it or heard it before today, please make sure to sit by me at dinner and I will be happy to talk with you about it. Let us pray. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned. Those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be.